who were serving in the house of the Lord. And look what they were doing. They were taking the best out of what the people of the Lord came to offer. And well now, and tonight I have to do a video in Spanish about prosperity gospel people. And when I was preparing for this, I was thinking about that. When how many pastors and ministers in the world, people give money, and you are still driving your four. I have a Ford Laser 2000, and then you see the pastor driving his latest Mercedes Benz. Or do you think this thing is from now on? This thing is from this time. They were making themselves rich. It said here in verse 29, why do you scorn my sacrifice and offering that I prescribe for my dwelling? Why do you honor your sons more than me by fattening yourselves on the choice parts of every offering made by my people Israel? Why do you fatten yourself, minister, today buying a jet? Because they do. Careful dollar, this guy. He asked. He said that the Lord revealed to him that he needed a jet to go and preach the word of God everywhere. And how much was this jet? $75 million. And where was he going to? And there were these other two prosperity gospel people that said, we need our own jet, because if we take commercial, there are demons in those airplanes because they're all unbelievers. So we need to be praying in the airplane. So this issue is not a new issue. This issue comes right from the Bible, my brothers and sisters. But there's a warning, and people never gonna preach about this in those prosperity churches. Why? The warning is because you have treated us with contempt, I will wipe you out. And you can see, and let me tell you, I'm having a go at these people, but I'm also thinking, because I know them, and I said, okay, you had money, but then I see your children going down the drain, leaving the faith, or destroying the ministry that this parent worked so hard to build. So the word of the Lord is faithful. God doesn't change. God will not be fooled. And chapter 2 finishes in such a bad manner, saying that, but he appoint another priest. And let me finish with chapter 3. I call this a new hope. Star Wars. A new hope. Samuel was serving in the temple as a Levite. But Samuel wasn't from the tribe of Levi. Where was he from? In chapter 1, we read where he was from. Ephraim. He was an Ephraimite. Yet the Lord opened. See, the law says that only the Levites can do that. Only the Levites can live in the house of the Lord. Only the Levites can serve in the house of the Lord. But the Lord allowed Samuel to do it. And he became some sort of priest, because who anointed Saul to be a king? Samuel. Who anointed David? Samuel. Who was the last of the judges? Samuel. Who's the first of the prophets? Samuel. So an outsider can serve the Lord. That's what I got from here. An outsider can serve the Lord. I see myself, I have an accent, I'm not from here, I'm an outsider. Auslander, to use the term. Yet, in the house of the Lord, if the Lord gives you the gift to preach, to share the word, this pulpit is open. And Andrew has said it time and time before. Terry, You know, Big Terry. Let me tell you one thing, maybe you don't know. Terry is on remission. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He's on remission. And Terry asked me before Christmas, he asked me, "Brother, I want to preach." Because Terry is being a pastor in New Zealand. He's an ordained pastor. He's not like me. I'm not ordained. But he's an ordained pastor. And he said, "I want to preach. Can you talk to the pastor?" And right away, I just turned around and went and said to Andrew, "Andrew, Terry wants to preach." And Andrew said, "Of course." And Andrew was on the phone that day and asked him, "When do you want to preach?" So if you want to preach, my brothers and sisters, don't be afraid that we're going to say, "I don't think you have it in it." No, have a go. Give it a try. Who knows what the Lord will do through you? "Oh, but I don't have anything to say." Sometimes even just reading this and just saying something simple will change somebody's life. So Samuel was sleeping right next to the Ark of the Covenant. I don't know how the Lord didn't kill him, maybe because he was a boy. But he was sleeping right next to where the presence of the Lord was supposed to be there. Actually, the Ark of the Covenant is not where we always think that that's where the Lord was sitting, yeah? Like because there the two cherubims are like this. So you think that that's where the Lord was sitting. No, that's where his feet are. So the idea is that the God is sitting in his heavenly throne and he puts his feet there. That's the idea of the Ark of the Covenant. If you sing Indiana Jones. So he's there, but he doesn't know the Lord. And same with our children sometimes. They may grow up here in church. They hear, they can hear you raising your hands. And sometimes they can even see you crying. I remember the first time my kids saw me crying in church. I said, "What's going on? What's going on? Why are you crying?" Because the Lord touched me. But they were worried. "You had a fight with mom." So our children can grow up looking all of that and they don't know what's going on. Because like I said, this is a personal faith. The Lord had to reveal himself to Samuel. So then what happens? Again, the Lord talks to him. And do you think the first time the Lord talks to you, everybody wants to hear, "Oh yes, if you're a young man, you're gonna find the best wife, you're gonna have a good job." Or if you're older, you say, "Oh yes, I'm gonna help you to finish your home. I'm gonna help you with that boss that you can't stand," or whatever. But what does Samuel get? A boy, I'm gonna kill your priest. I'm gonna kill his children too. No wonder he was afraid of telling Eli, "Oh, this is the guy who's raising me. And the Lord just told me that he's going to kill him and kill all his family." So put yourself in the story when you read the Bible. How would you feel if the Lord talks to you and said, "Oh, I have to go and tell the church, if you don't shape up, I'm going to burn you all in this knot." Because that's what happens. That's what happens. Who knows what the Lord has in mind? And he calls anybody to tell us. That's why we have to be humble enough. Even if the Lord calls a boy or a girl to tell us something to shape up our life, we have to listen. And I love how Eli answers. Eli answers this way. "He is the Lord. Let him do what is good in his eyes. Where have you heard that saying?" Yes, but in what book in the Bible they say it like three times? And everybody did what it was good in their eyes. Judges. And then Eli says, oh, it's the Lord. Let him do whatever is good in his eyes. And then we can make the knot with Miriam. Let the Lord do with his servant when the angel came. But do you see the difference? But do you see the connection? And yet you see the difference. People in Judges, I can do whatever I want. I do whatever is fitting in my eyes. All right. And then with Samuel, oh, it's the Lord. Okay, let it be done. And then in Mary, in Mary's case, she's around 12 and 14, another girl. We're talking about little people. Samuel was a boy. Mary wasn't a woman. She was a little girl, 12, 13, 14. Imagine an angel comes. Oh, okay, angel. Oh, what a miracle. I seen an angel. I'm 14. Yeah, you're going to get pregnant. You're going to be pregnant. I can see your face going, okay, I thought you were going to tell me something else. Do you think telling a 12-year-old that she's pregnant is a good news? No. The good thing that the angel didn't stop there. He kept going. He kept going saying, okay, the boy that you're going to have is going to be the Savior. Okay, well, that's okay. So you see, there's this thing when once you read Scripture as a Christian, the Bible takes another, it tastes good because you understand. Well, to finish, we can learn three things. The Lord hears our prayers. He may answer you some other way. And let me have a word, because I want to make sure I don't do this wrong. Sometimes the Lord doesn't answer our prayers the way we want them to. And that's the hard thing that we have to discern. Because sometimes the Lord fulfills that boy that we are asking for, but not in our way, but in his ways. So sometimes the question is, why doesn't God answer my prayer? The question is better to be, how does God answer my prayer? So God answers our prayers, even though sometimes it's not the way we want them answered. It's like a gift for Christmas. And you see, oh, that is not what I expected, but that is what I need. This Christmas, I made a big mistake. I bought a PS4 controller. And I said to Amanda, this is what you wanted, yeah, for such a long time. But the controller wasn't for her, it was for David. But I forgot to tell her that it wasn't for her. So when they opened the controller, oh, it's mine. No, it's not yours. It says David. We make mistakes, but God doesn't make mistakes. God doesn't make mistakes. Second thing that we can learn, God will not be fooled. If we mess around with his laws, he will come back and ask for retribution. Most of us, even like Jesus said, those who teach you will have even more judgment because we are supposed to know, yet we don't do it. And finally, God always gives us hope. He may be angry, rightfully so, because he's holy and he is the Lord, but he always sends a way out. He always sends his mercy. And that's the God that we have. Let us pray. Lord, I give you thanks because you want to teach us to read your scripture in order to edify us and bless us. Let us walk from here, Lord, with with renewed interest of reading this book specifically, but the whole Bible. If last year we couldn't finish our Bible reading, let this year be the year that we do. And if we didn't finish last year, let us continue where we stop, as long as we aim to read your word. Lord, I give you thanks because of your mercy, your faithfulness, and because in your word we see how you treat human beings and how you are treating us. In the name of Jesus, amen.